We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Better.
Oh, it's a jam, man. That is a jam.
It's
got jam written all over it.
It really does.
How do you spell jam? C-H-I-C-A-G-O.
Actually, it's more D-A-V-I-D space F-O-S-T-E-R.
David Foster, mm-hmm. Who wrote most of these songs?
Produced them all.
Do you want to do the awkward story first?
No, we'll do that one in a minute.
Oh, good. Just wait.
How awkward are we talking?
Ooh, if you're in a new relationship, awkward. It could be extremely awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Like super awkward. This one here, though, that will just drive me insane. This is the moment that doctors find a family of cockroaches living inside a man's ear after a mother parasite laid over a dozen eggs. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
These stories come up more often than
I know.
We would like to admit.
I have two fears on this planet.
One.
Tags in a shirt.
That's a fear of yours?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was an annoyance, but I didn't realize
it
was
straight. It's okay. A fear.
Wow.
Number two is cockroaches.
If your baseline fear is cockroaches, what would your fear of having a family of them set up shop in your ear be?
Oh, that would be off the map.
Okay.
Like, I would probably.
Do you hear that scratching sound, Park?
Do you feel that scratching sensation?
Ew, stop it! That's
it's
so gross.
It's not about hearing a sound, dude, it's about feeling it.
Dude, I could have a mouse living like right in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Tom and Jerry kind of mouse.
You got,
you know,
Stuart,
what I mean?
Little just hanging out.
Yeah. Just hanging out. Wouldn't bother me. I mean, it would bother me, but it wouldn't bother me like it would if I saw one cockroach running around with a tag in its mouth.
Well, that would be something.
Now, see, I really just thought the tag was a minor annoyance of yours.
Oh, no. You haven't seen... Dana, you've been with me at a remote.
Yeah, he's so weird about
Remember
it.
When somebody brought a necklace of tags?
Yeah.
And it caused... And
they tried to put it on me.
And it, I take it, brought you severe anxiety.
Yes.
Wow. Freaked me out. Your big fear is mice, right?
I don't like them.
What's your big fear? And don't say, losing my children. That's everybody's fear.
A van with tinted windows?
Seriously.
No, that'd be it.
Like, what is your phobia? Like, I have a phobia of tags on shirts.
I don't really have that thing that you have. I don't think, like,
you
I have a
You don't have
thing.
Any phobia.
Like,
really?
I don't like mice, and I don't want them in the house. And if there's one in the house...
I don't want them in the house
yeah,
either.
If there's one in the house, I will, like, Chris is going to have to hand...
Sure.
Yeah.
And did you do the broomstick trick that we told you about a couple years ago?
Broomstick trick?
Remember the bucket with the...
Oh, yeah. No, see, I don't want to even think about having to deal with it. Like, that's just not my thing.
Okay, but you have no phobias at all.
I would
oh, come
have
on.
To
Everybody's
think
got
about
one.
It. I don't...
There's
like,
not something that, like...
Even I have one.
I'm going to ask you about yours okay. in a second, so hang tight. There's not a phobia in your life where you're like, oh, my God... Don't even think about getting that thing near me. Cockroaches and tags on shirts are for me.
Like creepy old white guy in a van is my phobia.
I'm not talking about a fear. I'm
Scott
talking
Park's
about
driving
a phobia.
A van?
No, Chris Kent's driving a van.
Something that really, really scares you.
Let me look up a list of the most common
some
ones.
People, like some people say, I have a phobia of clowns, or I have a phobia of mice, or rats, or...
It would probably be... maybe mice, but I don't consider that a phobia. I just don't want them anywhere near me.
I mean, there's a difference between a fear or a get the hell out of my house.
Right.
And a, oh my God.
I have grown into a phobia of large crowds. I've grown into that.
So you're claustrophobic.
I've grown into it with my anxiety disorder.
Okay. So you can't be in large crowds. Like
when I get stuck in St. Louis during the hockey parade and I yell at a guy, take my car. I hate hockey.
That was awesome, by the way.
I do not like being trapped in a large crowd.
Like, you wouldn't do well in Times Square in New York.
Probably not as well as I used to. Correct.
Okay. You definitely wouldn't go there for New Year's.
Like, we just went to Nashville, and the 30,000 people in one bar, I was like, I'm good.
If the Royals ever won the World Series again, could you go to Union Station?
I did not like the size of that crowd.
Someone asked. If the Royals win the World Series again, could you go to Union Station?
I could. I wouldn't like it.
It would kind of weird you out.
Yeah. Like, okay. I actually had a physical reaction like, in get St. Me Louis the hell when out I was here. Stuck in that place. Yeah, it was like... like a physical
thing.
So
the anxiety was kicking
yep.
in. Okay.
But see, that's related to my anxiety. When I think phobia, like you, I think mice or snakes, and I don't...
I'm not afraid of snakes.
I'd prefer not to have a snake, like, choke me to death like that woman last week
Texas. Well, I would prefer that, too.
What is yours, Will?
Nothing in this world scares me quite like...
I can't wait to hear this.
Anesthesia awareness.
Excuse me?
Anesthesia awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Like being put out, but you're really aware.
You can feel it.
Yep.
You can sense everything, but you can't move. You can't respond.
Yeah. And you can't tell them because...
You can't move. You can't respond.
You can respond, but it sounds like this.
No,
you can't even do that.
No.
How often are you knocked out for like surgery and stuff?
I'm not. I've only been knocked out, I think, twice. Once was for my tonsils. Another time was for my wisdom teeth. But there are few things in this world.
Wait till you start getting the colonoscopies, friend.
I look forward to that. But there are very few things in this world that scare me. I do not have any fear of death whatsoever. But anesthesia awareness terrifies me. Ever since I first learned about it, that is something that chills me to my bone.
Is this a real thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 The overwhelming majority of people who live through it end up committing suicide because they just can't.
Oh, stop it.
No, I'm serious.
It is a
thing.
Recognized disorder.
Okay, Scott, imagine there's a surgery that you have to be put out for.
Oh, I've had plenty of surgeries. I'm
right.
Aware.
Okay, imagine feeling all of it.
Yeah.
That's what this is. That's what I'm terrified of.
But again, you don't have any history with this or no one in your family had this happen. You just know that it could happen.
Uh-huh.
It's rare, but it could.
Mm-hmm. And it scares me to death.
One of the reasons I don't know that I have claustrophobia as much as I have social anxiety is that I love to fly. I don't have any issue whatsoever getting on an airplane. And most people who are claustrophobic don't like being trapped in that fuselage.
Yeah, because you're basically in a cigar tube.
Yeah. I have no issues with flying, which is why I don't know that what I
See,
have is claustrophobia.
This is so interesting because I have no problem with flying. And I was listening to another radio program the other day. I can't remember which one it was. They were talking about how when it comes to flying, they don't have a problem with flying either. It's the takeoff that bothers them. The takeoff doesn't bother me at all. It's the landing.
Oh, I love the landing.
Oh, my God. I am white-knuckling it. I am bracing myself for
You don't feel better as you see the ground coming closer because you think, okay, we're coming on the ground. We're on the ground.
See, I'm the exact opposite. When and this is me in a seat, you would hate to fly with me.
Yeah.
When I'm looking out the window, I love the takeoff. I love the flight. I'm never nervous. No problem. When I start noticing that we're descending, I start to grab my arm handles, okay? I start to white knuckle, and then I get my feet in position. You know, there's always those silver railings underneath
the seat
in front of you. I position my feet just so that I can brace myself.
Well, I know, Dana.
If the plane crashes, it doesn't matter. But it just makes me feel better. And so I will put my feet up against those little silver railings underneath the seat in front of me, and I'll just brace like this.
Yeah.
And I'll close my eyes and I'll be like, dear God, please let this plane land. Okay, dear God, dear God. It's not the takeoff. It's when we're coming down to the ground that I get nervous.
Yeah.
When statistically, you should be more nervous on the takeoff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot more instances of running out of runway and things like that.
Dana's phobia is lightning on a golf course.
I mean, probably true.
We have such good advanced warning systems for that now. I don't really have that phobia either.
Nerd.
It's loud.
How quickly, though, do you vacate the golf course?
When immediately.
You don't mess around?
Immediately.
You don't finish that hole?
No. No. No, 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 no.
Kelly?
It happened a couple months ago, and we all immediately went in. And then the next day in the news cycle, there was a man, I think in Missouri, struck and killed by lightning. Like, I don't mess around with that.
Kelly says your fear is being, she's in the medical field, your fear is being paralyzed without being sedated.
That's the thing that you should fear?
That's what you fear.
Oh, that's what I...
You fear being paralyzed without being sedated.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You should never have a paralytic without adequate sedation. I have no idea what she just wrote.
I think basically what she's saying is you'd better, if you're being put under, you'd better be
I'm going to knock you out. Mama said knock you out.
Yes.
See, that doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, God.
Well, what if you're cutting into you and you can feel it?
As long as I don't have any tags on my shirt, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm real good. Will stare at Sam Stevie Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand, don't fear the reaper. We'll be able to fly. More cowbell, please.
Just in general, I like Blue Oyster Cult.
La, la.
That shocks me.
Right.
So, awkward alert, and I'd love to hear from someone if this happened to you. I guess a ton of people overnight, have you heard about this, received a text message that was originally sent on Valentine's Day. It happened
a little late.
All across all major U.S. cell phone carriers. Here's where this starts to get awkward.
This is great.
The delayed messages came in overnight. If you are no longer in a relationship with that person since February and you got one of these messages, there are a ton of people wondering why they are getting these messages.
And these are now defunct relationships.
Well, some are, some aren't.
Okay.
The texts appear to have been originally sent on or around Valentine's Day 2019. The people never received the text in the first place, and the people who sent the message had no idea they had never been received. Okay?
Oh, God.
The delayed messages were then sent from and received by both iPhones and Androids. They've been sent and received across all major carriers in the United States. T-Mobile, Sprint, AT&T, Verizon.
So all the major carriers.
Even Google Voice and carriers in Canada have experienced this. A maintenance update last night may have caused the error. Quote, we apologize for any confusion this may have caused.
Or any marriage that was lost.
People have expressed confusion or spoke to the awkwardness of the situation. Having been told by people that they sent a mysterious early morning text, a few spoke to much more distressing repercussions of the error. One said they received a message from an ex-boyfriend who had died.
Not the dead boyfriend.
Yeah, that's bad.
Class, can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Mrs. Wright, if you're in a relationship that is close enough where someone would be considered your Valentine, why aren't you calling them? Why are you sending text messages?
No. The text may not the text may not have had anything to do with "Be my Valentine."
Call me Boomer, please.
That's
it,
right, Boomer.
Just happened to have been sent on that day.
Yeah, I got a text from my girlfriend at 4:40 this morning that reads, "My nose is bleeding from blowing it so much in class."
You got one?
She graduated in May, and I said, "Why are you in class at 4:40 in the morning?" And she had no idea why I texted her that.
That was a very sexy text that she sent
you.
Yeah,
let me rephrase, Scott. The messages were sent on or around Valentine's Day.
Okay, all right.
But didn't necessarily have anything to do with Valentine's Day.
They weren't naughty pics.
Well, they could have been.
Okay.
It just, any given day, people send texts about a trillion things.
I understand.
It could have been about anything.
But these were around the time of Valentine's Day of this year. Okay.
I'm curious how many broken up couples... One of them got the text that said something like, "I love you," and the other one is like,
"What?"
No, the other one is like, "Oh, God, I've been wanting to say that, but I didn't want to be the one to say it. I'm so sorry. Let's get back together." You know that had to have happened at least once, right?
Oh, sure.
I think so great. It led to some awkward issues.
You think?
I think it's hilarious.
Except in the one case, yes, it's hilarious.
I mean, the one case where the person's no longer drawing breath.
Well, that's
obviously bad. We can agree that's not best case scenario.
Although, I'll tell you this. If I were ever to die, I would pray. Well, when I die, I would pray that there's a lingering text message out there somewhere.
No.
I swear to God, this is true.
Goes to your mom's phone or something?
No, it goes to Kelly's, just says, "Honey, I've been thinking about you all day."
No, that is terrible.
Like eight months after I die, and just, "Honey, I've been thinking about you all day."
Like the guy who recorded that thing to play out of his casket?
Let me out! Let me out of here! Yeah, just one text from beyond the grave that says, "Babe,
no,
I've been missing you all day."
Oh, no.
I'm sold.
"Can't wait to get home. Tacos tonight, maybe? ? And she'd be like, "Oh, hell. I do believe in God."
That's one hell of a God tap right there.
Listen to one woman on Twitter. "Technology ruins everything. In technology ruins everything news, at 3 a.m. my ex's cell phone decided to resurface a text I sent him this past Valentine's Day when we were still together," which led me waking up to a text from him that said, "Huh? Baby, come back.
That's player right there.
You can blame it all on me. I was wrong.
So,
and I just can't live.
Talk about bitterness from the grave, man. We were talking, you know, that story we were talking about before the news. Late Cars singer Rick Ocasek cut his estranged supermodel wife out of his will, claiming that she abandoned him, according to documents revealed today. This is from page 6 of the New York Post.
So you know it's true.
You know it's true. If it's in the New York Post, it is true.
The thing about the New York Post is it's almost always really trashy
and fantastic.
Accurate.
And fantastically TMZ accurate.
Yes, that's the thing. They always get the accuracy on
it. So listen to this clause in his will. "I have made no provision for Paulina Poroskova as we are now in the process of divorcing. Even if I should die before our divorce is final, Paulina is not entitled to any elective share because she has abandoned me."
Woo.
That's a stone cold kick in the grill.
Remind me how he passed away again.
Natural causes.
It was natural causes.
75 okay. years old okay. Last month.
Okay. Yep.
Here's the funny, here's the crazy thing. This is a guy who had hit after hit after hit in the 1980s and late 70s.
Yeah.
His will lists $5 million in, quote, copyrights, which are things he has not retrieved yet.
Yeah.
But he had an apartment in Manhattan, New York.
Okay.
But only had $100,000 in tangible personal property and $15,000 in cash. That's it.
Somebody live that rock and roll lifestyle.
I was going to say.
Cocaine's
a hell of a drug.
$100,000?
In, quote, tangible personal property.
That means house.
That means that's what he's paid off on a multi-million dollar apartment in Manhattan.
Wow.
And $15,000 in cash. Although he suggests, because he wrote, here's what, and I hate to go too inside baseball on everybody. When you hear a song on the radio, you probably wonder, like, how the drummer of, you know, Guns N' Roses, Steven Adler, for example, has to keep working. He was the drummer on one of the biggest records of the 80s.
Right.
But he didn't
Steven
write
Adler,
it.
That's right. Steven Adler didn't write any of the songs. When you hear a song on the radio, the only person who gets paid is not anyone who performed on it, it's who wrote it. So when you hear Welcome to the Jungle, Axl Rose and Slash get paid.
Man. You better get to writing. If you're in a band, you better get to writing.
You better get your name on it.
That's why a lot of times now, as part of the bargaining on...
The bands will put every name on the song.
Right, or someone who has nothing to do with it will, as part of the contractual, you know, deal to put out an album, it'll state that they get songwriting credit on this and this and this and this, even if they never set foot in the room while it was going on.
You know a band that never broke down song by songwriting credit? Every member of the band got credit for every song no matter what.
Was it the Eagles?
Van Halen.
Oh.
On the back of every record, it says all songs written by David Lee Roth, Michael Anthony, Eddie Van Halen, and Alex Van Halen. So anytime you hear a Van Halen song on the radio, they all get a quarter of it.
Huh.
Even if they had nothing to do with writing the song.
Katrina and the Waves have done that same thing.
Aww.
You notice you'll hear Walking on Sunshine used in commercials everywhere. That's because all the members of the band have a share of the song, and they've all agreed, we're going to sell this thing as much as possible. It's reported that each of them still get over $1 million a year.
Aww.
In royalties on
Walking on Sunshine. Wow.
Don't it feel good?
Can you bring up the Big Biscuit story? My internet is just completely on the fritz over here.
This just was updated within the last 5 or 6 minutes. And so off the air, I said to Scott, ooh, this is a topic. We might have to bring this back tomorrow, as a matter of fact. This is from Channel 5's website. Man says Big Biscuit in Overland Park fired him because he has HIV.
Mmm.
A local man claims an Overland Park restaurant fired him after he was diagnosed with HIV, and now a lawsuit's been filed in federal court. Mark Dugan is the attorney representing the man who used to work as a server at the Big Biscuit restaurant.
How do I feel?
It's at the minimum disability discrimination or discrimination based on the perception of disability, quoting here from the attorney. I think it is likely discrimination based on the stigma and negative perception about HIV. His client accepted the job in 2017 and explained he couldn't work Sundays because of family commitments. For the next year, there were no problems with that. A year later, he learned he was HIV positive. Because he was wary of the social stigma associated with that, he instead told his manager he had cancer. He later needed his employer's signature on a document, though, to get HIV treatment through a state program. The very next day, he was told he was being moved to a different location with a different schedule that included Sundays. And then he was fired when he told management he still could not work on that day.
Okay, you opened up a different box that I didn't anticipate. He lied to his employer about his, quote, disability.
Do you have to be honest with your employer about your private medical issue? No.
Well, if you're going to use it as a reason for something that involves the employer, I would say yes. He needed the employer. Read the part about why he had to tell them the truth.
He accepted the job in 2017. Yep. A year later, he learned about his diagnosis, okay?
All right. That's fine.
Because of the social stigma associated with that, he told his manager he had cancer.
Okay.
Because I'm guessing there are doctor's appointments and stuff.
Sure.
However, he later needed his employer's signature on a document to get HIV treatment through a state program, which I've got a huge problem with that in and of itself. Why is there a state program that says, oh, and by the way, we need you to tell your boss what's going on with you and your health, and we need your boss's signature on that. Are you kidding me?
But let me ask you this. You tell your boss that you are pregnant. Okay? You're not.
Okay.
You have you have HIV, okay? But you have a 3-month period coming up where you're going to need HIV treatment. And I'm just spitballing here, so forgive me. You tell your boss that you're pregnant and you're going to need 3 months off, maternity leave. When you're really going in for 3 months of treatment for HIV or cancer or whatever.
I don't think they can fire you for that, Scott.
Hmm.
Let me give you a more realistic example, okay?
Well, this seems unrealistic, but it's true.
I am going in for surgery that is cosmetic in nature, okay? I'm going in to
breast enhancement.
Get a tummy tuck, something that wouldn't be outwardly as maybe as noticeable.
Okay.
Instead, I tell my boss that I am having surgery on Friday, which is true. I'm going in for a colonoscopy. Okay. I don't completely tell the truth because it's really no one's business that I'm having a tummy tuck, but I say it's a colonoscopy because I do need the day off for surgery. You gonna fire me for that?
I'm probably not going to fire you. I'm probably not going to fire you if you have HIV.
I don't think you can. My point is I don't think you can fire me.
Under what protected class do you fall under? It's not a disability.
Did you not see the Tom Hanks movie Philadelphia?
I did see the Tom Hanks movie Philadelphia.
You can't fire someone because of their medical condition.
I'm simply asking out of ignorance. What protected class do you fall under? Is an illness a disability?
Yes.
It is.
Switch HIV out with cancer, okay?
Okay.
I come to you. I'm going to need several Fridays off to go in for chemotherapy treatment. And you say to me, we can't accommodate that. You're fired.
Total D-bag move. No doubt about it. Total D-bag move. I'm going to need, during the break, I'm going to do a little bit of research. I know that's against the rules on the show.
Oh, yeah, just watch the movie Philadelphia. Excuse me, am I being fired? Don't you remember that line on?
I saw the movie once when it came out in 1992. That was 27 years ago. I don't remember every line from that movie.
No, I do.
But I do remember every line from Star Wars. Would you like for me to recite some?
No.
Okay. What disability do you have if you are sick? I'm asking out of ignorance. I'm not trying to be provocative at all.
I'll look it up, but it just is.
Okay. If you're right, then I will freely admit that I'm wrong. I have no problem with that. When I think of disability, I think you've lost a leg or you're paralyzed or...
I agree. It's certainly discrimination. Now, does that fall under ADA?
I have absolutely no doubt, Dana, that this is discrimination of some capacity. What I'm asking is, do you fall under a protected class? And there is where you have the lawsuit. If you do not fall under a protected class, you have no lawsuit. You have the right to fire people because they have blue eyes.
It is illegal under both federal and state laws to discriminate against an employee based on his or her medical condition with regard to employment decisions.
Okay.
There it is. It's under FMLA.
Okay. So you cannot fire them.
And the ADA.
Okay.
And the ADA.
All right. So it does fall under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
It says FMLA and ADA.
Okay. Then I stand corrected, even though I was asking out of ignorance?
Now, are there some illnesses or disabilities under which you could say, legally, think about a police officer, we're going to have to take you off the street. So let's say...
And what, give you desk duty or something?
Yeah, let's say severe anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts.
Oh, so mental illness is
no,
okay.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying depending on your job, I think there are some... late-term pregnancy and being a police officer.
How about alcoholism? That's a disease.
That one, I don't know. I would have to look.
576-7798. 576-7798.
But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every
cowboy sings a sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
Here was 1988.
We'll bring this back tomorrow. It is federal law. You cannot discriminate against anyone with HIV or AIDS. It is prohibited by federal law.
Okay.
It is under the ADA. HIV and AIDS qualifies as a disability, even if asymptomatic, and employers are prohibited from discriminating on that basis. The law applies even if a person is only perceived to be HIV positive.
How is one perceived?
Rumor.
Okay.
The law covers all public employers and those private employers with 15 or more employees and prohibits discrimination in all employment practices, hiring, firing, job assignment, all that stuff. Here's one that's interesting. Although an employer can consider health and safety when making employment decisions, HIV transmission is very rarely considered a legitimate direct threat. Okay.
Okay.
Although an employer may inquire about health conditions that interfere with job performance, they are prohibited from inquiring about HIV status. And what was the one I read for you off the air, Scott? I'm trying to find it. Basically, the excuse that you could lose customers or other workers, co-workers, is not a valid reason under federal law for getting rid of someone.
Well, because I would argue, Dana, in that regard, we're in 2019. This isn't 1985.
No.
And where everybody thought, oh my God, if you even get within a breath of me with your HIV, I'm going to get the AIDS. That doesn't happen. We now know that. But I do want to remind everyone, especially those of you who are younger, and, you know, there are these commercials on the cable shows
these days. Oh, I've
seen them. You know.
Me and HIV.
Yeah, me and HIV, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's me with me and my HIV. That commercial could have never run 34 years ago.
Because of the hysteria and the misunderstanding. Just people just did not.
Agreed.
They didn't know what it was.
We didn't know what we didn't know. Is that fair to say?
Here's the sentence. A potential loss of customers or coworkers because an employee has HIV or AIDS does not constitute an undue hardship under the law.
But I need to only remind those of you in the audience who are younger, because I did live through the 80s and the hysteria over HIV and AIDS. And we didn't know what we didn't know, to repeat myself. We didn't know that you could kiss someone with HIV and you wouldn't get infected. We didn't know that you could shake hands with someone. There was actually, at one time in the mid-80s, a fear that if you shook hands with someone or touched their sweat, you could get HIV.
People wouldn't sit on public toilet seats.
No. There was an absolute panic in the mid-1980s over HIV.
Now, in this story, Scott, if you're just getting in your car and joining us, there is a local man who has filed a lawsuit
against Big Biscuit
against
and Overland
a restaurant
Park.
In Overland Park, saying the very next day after they learned of his HIV status, he was basically transferred and then fired. There's an interesting sentence in here, and we're going to come back to this tomorrow, where a local group says more education is needed to get rid of harmful misinformation. I thought we were past that.
That's what I said when I said this is 2019. I thought we were past the concerns about HIV.
Well, he would tell you today without a job, clearly we are not.
Well, and he may be right. We got to run. News is next. Then it's a bonus hour because 4 hours are never enough.
Hell no.
Of the Dana and Parks program. Get a fifth. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie. My good friend and co-host, Dana Ryan. I am Scott Park. Hey, did you keep the commercials in this upcoming hour that we've completely butchered? Oh, damn. I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow is a Festivus Friday. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you for spending your time with us. It means more than you can possibly imagine. And be good. Baby, what a big surprise.
for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.